Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
All right, you guys ready to get into this thing? Let's do this. I have a microphone. Where's my daughter? Got to talk about her a little bit. I'm going to be nice, though, because she's concussed. You know what that means? She might have a concussion. I don't know. I mean, it might just be normal, right? You just never know. She could just be, what? Did you say something? Yeah, it's all good. You know? Oh, man. Yeah, somebody threw a water bottle and hit her in the head. That's like what kind of garbage is that? That's not cool at all. It was a dude. So if somebody goes to Grand Ledge, just need to extend the hand of faith to the side of his head, right? Just want to lay hands on you, brother. You know? Let me pray for you. Pow! He went down in the Holy Spirit. Or I used to say, you know, I just hit him with the hand that wasn't saved, right? This hand is still working it out, you know. This hand is saved, you know, that's why it holds the mic. This one has a mind of its own. All right, I'm talking about relationships today. How many of you guys were in the service Sunday? And we were talking about social media and just different things like that. And we kind of brought out that social media is changed the way we do relationships nowadays, right? Maybe you guys don't know anything different. I don't know. You know, back in the day, we used to have to actually go over to somebody's house and talk to them. Like, that was real. It was a real thing, you know? Like, if we wanted to play video games, we had to, like, go to somebody's house, get them, and then walk down the street to, like, a Pinball Pete's or a Putt-Putt and actually play video games standing up at this machine where we'd throw a quarter in and we'd get one game for a quarter, you know? It was crazy, you know? And we'd have to do that. We'd have to hang out with people Nowadays, you guys could go a whole week without even, like, seeing anybody. But you talk to everybody. It's kind of crazy. You know what we call that? That's called a lack of intimacy. What do you guys think about when you guys think about intimacy? You guys, your minds probably go racing to different things, right? It's, listen, intimacy is the depth or the closeness in a relationship, right? Closeness in a relationship, that's the definition of intimacy. What kind of social media are you guys on now? All right. I'll talk to this side. What do we got? Snapchat back there. Instagram. Let's go over here. What are we on? MySpace? Whoa. We got, what do we got? What else we got over here? Billboards. Like an actual physical billboard? Like the little sandwich board where a guy's walking around town? On one side, he's got like sandwiches on sale over here, 50% off. On the back, it's lostfingersonly.com. You guys got to be praying for Zach. Right? Look at that. He's got like a growth on his finger. He's got issues, man. I heard you were posting things on social media, speaking of which, right? You know? Video of stuff. Look at that. And you know what's kind of crazy is everybody was like in your little experience with you. You know? Isn't that, that's kind of nuts. So what do we got? What else we got? We got Facebook. Anybody even on Facebook anymore? Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying. Instagram, Facebook, any Twitter? Anybody on Twitter? Wow. Nobody here has a Twitter? Oh, you have it. You just You just don't claim Twitter. I just don't. We don't claim that. That's no good. That's no good. Intimacy and relationships. I want to tell you guys a little story. Jesus, he was, you guys remember the story where he was washing people's feet? Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty nasty to me, right? And true story, it was just as nasty back then as it is today. Because I've smelled some of your feet walking into this place, and it has nothing on the feet that were back then. I mean, it was, they didn't have soap like we had soap, man. So, like, if you're washing, like, once a month, you're way ahead of the curve when it comes to, like, biblical times, okay? And so, I mean, this was nasty stuff. Can you imagine? I mean, some people's feet are, like, cracked and nasty and, oh. Right? I mean, think about it, man. This, like, I'm reading this story in John 13, 34 through 35, and it says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another, right? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And he showed love to one another, to his disciples, by whipping out a washcloth and a bowl and scrubbing their feet. Could you imagine, like, what if you just broke down and started breaking his shoes down and, like, let me see your feet, man? You're just, like, not into it? Right? Not this guy. I like him, but not that much. Right? It's kind of funny, though, right? And so we have this this lack of intimacy in our relationships. We can go this long distance of time without actually talking to anybody. We can go this long distance of time without actually having any physical contact with anybody. You know, when I was starting to look at all the social media stuff, it was kind of shocking to me how lonely teenagers are in this day and age, right? I mean, how many friends do you have on Facebook? Like 500, right? You're like balling, like 500. I got like 500. It's like whatever, you know, right? So what? Now that's interesting. What'd you just say? He said he's got 500 on Facebook, but in real life, zip. Think about that. No, I mean, think about that. But do you know that the reality is this, that the average American has two friends? Two friends. Now, that's down four friends from 20 years ago. The average American 20 years ago used to have six friends. Now they have two. Okay? And here's the interesting thing. 25% of Americans say they have zero friends. Yet the average American has 324 friends on Facebook. You're above average, bro. Right? Look at you, man. You like doubled average up. You know? It's kind of crazy. You know, and here's the other thing. I see your faces like every week, most of you, right? I like you. Can I say that? I like you guys. Me and you guys are awesome. I like you. He may not like you, but I like you, right? But here's the thing is I see you guys every week, and we gather, and look how big this group is. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Look around just for a second. And here's the problem is that I find more and more people in church are just as lonely as people that are outside of church. That we can sit in this group and be with all these people and still not feel like anybody knows you. That's an issue. Can we agree that it's a problem? Right? Yet, with all this technology and all this stuff, we reach more people than we've ever reached. More people know about your finger. They were telling me about your finger, man. You know what I mean? I mean, like, your mom called the church and was like, hey, can you pray? And we, like, heard it, like, firsthand. And then all of a sudden, it's like, like, everybody, it started just blowing me up. Like, hey, did you hear about Zach? I mean, people at the grocery store, I don't even know who they are. They're like, hey, man, don't you go to, like, First Assembly? And did you hear about Zach's finger? I heard like a monster truck ran it over or something, right? And he was just, he was lifting weights or something and dropped it on his finger. And then a rat came over and like picked it up and carried it away. I mean, these stories just like went way off the chart, dude. It was like crazy, right? You went viral, bro. You went viral, you know? And then everybody's telling me how you should sue and stuff like that. And like everybody, I'm like, wow. People are like, is he rich yet? He should sue. I can't believe he did that. You know, I can't. What kind of teacher does that? And all this stuff. And they were telling me details, right? That's what I said. I'm like, it's not like the teacher was like, oh, Zach, you know what? Bam. You know? He's known for doing stuff like that? That's good. So here's the thing. How do you guys think technology has changed relationships? Just the definition of relationships. Don't just, you got to give me some depth. Raise your hand. Let me see what you got. What do you got? Less intimacy. Okay. Good. More introverted. People are more introverted. Let me help you out. You have two types of people in the world. I can list off a lot of different categories, but I'm going to stick to the topic. Okay. You have boys, you have girls, you have you have introverts, extroverts, okay? Introverts like hanging by themselves. Extroverts like to be in crowds of people and be the life of the party, right? Something like that. That's a vague definition. We could go into the psychology of it, but... right? Got to right this ship. We don't want to take it off. You know what I mean? So, what else?
People used to actually talk to each other, and now they're just like
that is. You know what? Like, you have to learn a whole different language to text people. Isn't that crazy? Like, you have to. We have reinvented the American language. Okay, I look at text and I still don't know what they mean. It's written in code, and I have to go to, like, one of my sons, and go, can you decode this for me? Or can I be honest with you? Sometimes I have to type the text into Google, right? Does anybody else do that? Nobody else admits to this stuff, but this happens. This is real life. Sometimes you text, and the person you're texting has no idea what you meant. So they have to Google your text, okay? That's a real thing. How else has technology changed relationships?
I know what all my friends look like and dogs. You know,
if they
have those
dogs.
So instead of like knowing what their favorite color is, I know what they look like
with flowers. All of your dogs got flat, or your friends got flappy ears and tongues hanging out of their mouths, right? You, what's up? And he did it. He didn't even meet her until they got married. Does that sound right to you? I'm just asking. I don't know what sounds right. And you know, I'm just. She's British. British people can never do anything wrong. You know. Father. I just wet my knickers. It's like, oh, that's okay, little British kid. It's all good. So here's some things that I wrote down I wanted to think about. The term friend has totally changed definitions, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, back in the day, man, when you called somebody a friend, you didn't even have to label it like best friend. Besties. You didn't even have to label it and all that stuff. You just, friend meant that we were tight, okay? And now, friend has no, there's no indication of the depth of relationship, but when you call somebody a friend, we call just anybody friends. I mean, think about it. How many of you guys consider all of you guys friends? Some of you? We got one, right? So, hold on. So, we're in this whole big group of people, and none of these people are your friends. Do you guys not see the problem in some of this stuff? Am I the only one that sees an issue with this? Man, we have some issues, church. Right? Yeah, you are the church. Believe it or not, you're the future of the church. This group right here who has nothing to do with each other and has no friends in this whole building. I am so glad my future rests on your shoulders. You guys got to take off, right? Here's another one. I started writing down just some ideas of how technology has changed relationships. And another one is we're becoming addicted to immediate affirmation. I know that sounds like a big word, right? Do you want to know what affirmation means? Okay, I'm just curious. Not to. Can you tell the rest of the class? What is that? Does anybody know what affirmation means? Okay, to be affirming? No? To affirm one another? What does affirmation mean?
It means to like compliment.
Okay, or let's just say to like something, right? I like you. I like your shirt. Your hair is awesome. I just affirmed him. Totally blew his mind. Dude, you're totally affirmed. Right? Yes. Right? If there was a heart there, I would double tap it. Right? I would be like, tap, tap. And you'd have like an I like or I love that thing over there. Do you guys get what affirming means? So this is what we do in our society. We go, we doll ourselves up. If anybody ever feel lonely, you ever do this? Let me tell you what we do. We start feeling a little lonely, and we got all these friends, 500 and something on Facebook, right? And so we go, oh man, I really, really need some affirmation. Need somebody to give me some attention. And so what I'll do is I'll take a picture and I'll throw it on Facebook and I'll wait for people to like it. And I'll sit there. You ever just kind of watch your likes? You're like, you ever check back? Yes, you do. Don't lie. Don't lie. Huh? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You sit there and you're like, you wait a few minutes. Let me just check real quick. Some of you guys have the alerts coming right on your phone so you can see. Right, I shut mine off because I couldn't handle it, man. I couldn't handle it. It was too hard for me. I felt like I was getting rejected by all like 1,000 friends that, like, I just posted a picture and I only got 5 likes. Anybody ever do that? Just criticize how many likes they got. Like, I only got 5 likes. Only 5 people viewed my video. And then they show these graphs that show you how long they stayed on. It's so sad because all of a sudden it's like they're on. Where'd they go? They just dropped off. They're not watching anymore. You know? We become addicted to this immediate affirmation. We need we need people to like what we're doing right away. Right? And then we start to doubt ourselves. We start to put value on other people's likes. You know, if you like me, if you like this picture, then I feel like I have a little bit of validation or value. And then we start to break ourselves down when we don't get it. Especially if you're looking for somebody specific to like your picture. I'm just saying, it happens, right? You're like, oh man, I'm going to call you. Post this. And like for me, I'm married. So I'm like, man, maybe my wife will like it. And then she won't even look at it. Right? And then I'm like brokenhearted. I'm like, she didn't even look. Right? And it's kind of crazy. But some of you look for people to specifically like your stuff. And when they don't, you feel like, man, she didn't like it. He didn't like it. Why didn't they like it? Right? And then we start to look at other people and we're like, hey, why does she get more likes than me? Because you can see. Does anybody ever like look at other people's pictures and kind of see how many likes they get? Like, I wonder how many likes they get. I wonder who's liking it. Then you click on that little link and it like breaks down everybody that liked it and you're like, ooh, wait a minute. They like, I know they seen my picture and they didn't like it. It's kind of messed up. You know what it is? Sociologists use this phrase. They said that what happens when we start to look for this immediate feedback is that we get deferred loneliness. So this loneliness gets kind of carried out for a little bit. And what started out as loneliness becomes like extreme depression over here. Right? Think about how depressed America is. Right? I mean, all you got to do is like look at the news and you can see how depressed like people are. And it's kind of crazy. But the more social media we get, the more attention we put on social media, the more lonelier we get. Right? The more alone we feel, the more depressed America gets. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about. We're connected with more people than we've ever been, yet we're more lonelier than we've ever been. Here's another thing I wrote down. We have the power to do friendship on our own terms. We no longer have to go face to face. We no longer have to hang out with people. We can just get on Facebook and scroll through and go, you know what? Maybe I just want to avoid Facebook today and make people feel my pain, my wrath, right? I don't know what's in your heads. I'm just telling you what's in mine. My head is sick, right? Like, I'm just saying, I'll be like, I'm going to avoid it, right? But listen, look at how much power we have at the click of a button. We can literally ruin somebody's life or validate them just by scrolling through and having the power to double-click something and post a little heart or a like, right? That's how much power we have. Or if we want to get really, like, diabolical, we can unfriend the person who posts too many cat pictures, right? I'm not a cat person, so I can say that. Right, and you just totally unfollow them, and you're just like, and then they search for you later on. They're like, hey, I wonder what so and so. What, I can't see them. They just totally unfollowed me. Then you can unfriend too, and you can unfollow. It's kind of crazy, you know. Here's what I want us to look at today, all right? Because this is what our society craves, and this is what I think that the story of Jesus washing feet was kind of all about. He wanted to talk about the power of presence, being present, and being friends face-to-face instead of thumb-to-thumb. You know what I mean? Because right now, when we need something, we text people. Do you know that texts are very unemotional? There's no emotion in it. There's literally no emotion in written language at all, okay? And the emotion that we get out of it comes from us. We put it in there. Sometimes you feel, it's kind of crazy. We play games with our own heads or something, right? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways. What are some ways that we can motivate one another with acts of love? Anybody have any clue? Probably not.
Motivation with love.
Mm. Yeah, I just don't. You know, when if we're saying that people are lonely and have no friend, I don't think criticism is going to get it. Yeah, I don't care what kind of criticism it is. I'm just going to go ahead and say, probably not, you know? That was constructive criticism. And I wouldn't. I would totally I'd be hurt by that one. Well, how can we love somebody? Constantly pray for them? Okay. See? I like where you're going. Okay? Actually talk to them. Go find them at school and sit next to somebody. If somebody's feeling bad, don't like text them, hey, I'm praying for you. Actually call them and pray for them. I'm just saying, right? Like, how many texts did you get to say that people were praying? Okay, and how many people actually called you to pray with you?
Like
Does anybody see an issue with that? Now, the text felt kind of good for a second, right? But then you started to realize nobody's actually calling me and checking on me to pray with me or anything, right? Think about that. That's real. That's a real thing. What's another way we can love? Back there. Make it quick. Be real with who you are. I like that. I like that. Here's what verse 25 says. And it says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together. The verse totally, man, if you guys couldn't figure it out, it's like totally in the second part of this passage, right? You guys need to start reading ahead, you know? And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to rediscover the power of practicing actual presence. What it means to be in somebody's presence, not cyberly or digitally or electronically, whatever E-Li word you want to put on there, okay? I went to school. My mama learned me good, okay? There's something special and something very powerful when we come together as believers. As a matter of fact, does anybody know what that verse is where it says, where two or more are gathered, there I am? Right? What does it mean, that he's not there if you're alone? No, he's acknowledging that there's something powerful and great. There's something that happens when we actually come together as Christians, as believers, as friends. There's something that happens. I think this Sunday we're going to talk about friendships in the sanctuary a little bit. And here's the reality. The depth of your friendships, who you hang out with, is going to determine your future. Think about that one. Who you hang out with is actually going to determine how awesome your future is going to be. So if you're not hanging out with anybody, if you're hanging out with the wrong people, you got some work to do. You got some work to do. Think about it this way. God didn't shout his love from heaven. God didn't text anybody. Hey, buddy, praying for you. Right? We sing songs about God's presence, right? Don't we? We get in the presence of God. We feel his presence around us. We there's power in his presence. And we also, in the same breath, we say things like, you know, we're made in his image, you know? And then we read verses where it says, where two or more are gathered, there he is, okay? And what he's saying is, man, you know what? If you want more of my presence, start hanging out with people that have me in their hearts. Right? Actually start getting together. Actually start connecting. If somebody feels bad, if somebody has their finger cut off, you know what's awesome? Here's the thing. 50 million people texted him, I'm praying, and yet his finger wasn't healed. But man, if 50 million people actually came up to him and laid hands on him, man, do you know the power that's in that? There's a difference. There's a difference. We need to understand and recognize that power. Here's a couple practical things that we need to do to feel and be present and practice this presence with people. The first thing is this, is we actually have to be present. You have to be in front of people to be in front of people. You know what I mean? You have to be actually go over to somebody's house, somebody has to come over to your house, somebody has to ride in a car together, somebody has to go to movies together, somebody has to play video games actually together. If somebody is at school and they're sitting alone, you know what it does when somebody actually sits next to you? You know what I hate? Let me just tell you this. This is what I hate, and hate's a strong word, and I think it's accurate in this case, right? I hate it when people come to church and they're sitting by themselves. I think that's like the worst thing in the world, man. I think that's the saddest thing in the world. You know? I do. You know what? It breaks my heart to see that happen. It breaks my heart to see people wandering around our church and not knowing how to get to the here, there, where the bathrooms are, or simple things. It just kind of blows my mind that we don't think outside of ourselves enough to go, man, why are you sitting by yourself? Why is this happening? But then I see all these quotes on the internet how awesome of Christians we are. And yet nobody even called my man Zach. Yeah, junk just got real, right? I mean, that's the reality of it, man. What are we doing? What are we doing? I think we need to step our game up. What do you think? Right? So we need to be present. You know, I will love people, but I will love them face to face, not thumb to thumb. I'd rather you have two awesome friends than 320 whatever, 400 or 500 not so awesome friends. Right? Two people praying for you, actually laying hands on you, would have been better than 50,000 phone calls or text messages, I think. What do you think? Paul said this, Romans 12, 9 through 10. And we're going to skip down to 13. He said, don't just pretend to love others. I love Paul. Me and Paul could have got along back in the day, right? Because we would have just been like, we would have been like the jerks of the church. Like, look, man, don't just pretend to love people, right? Don't be stupid, right? I would have interpreted for Paul. He would have been like, don't pretend. Don't just pretend to love people. I would have been like, look, don't be stupid. Do what the Bible says. Right? That's what Paul's trying to say. He said, don't just pretend to love others. Don't sit there and tweet about loving people and actually not ever lay hands on anybody or actually sit next to somebody that's lonely or actually do life with another person. Don't pretend. He says, really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Don't get jealous when other people get blessed online. Pass out likes freely. And then maybe call somebody. You know, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. The problem is sometimes we can't get out of our own heads. We can't get out of our own ways to actually help somebody else out. We don't even see people sitting alone. That's how bad we are in church. It's not that they're sitting alone, man. It's that we don't even see it and recognize it. That's horrible. So if somebody has bad news, somebody gets hurt medically, somebody gets a medical diagnosis, please, save your text. Listen, if I'm in the hospital, save your text, man. You know? Come and see me. Send your dads to something. I don't know. Send somebody to pray for me because I want to get healed and I want to get, you want to get better? Right? I'm just saying. There's a lot of lonely people in this building. There's a lot of lonely people in this room right here, and it makes me sick. It disgusts me. These are the things that keep me up at night. Like going, man, why? Why would this happen? You know? I'm tired of watching young people commit suicide. I'm tired of watching them fall away from the Lord. I'm tired of all this stuff. And the reason is because we can't get out of our own ways. We can't get out of our own little bubbles to see outside of this little area here called me to start paying attention to other people. And actually being present in their lives. Just saying. We got people in here that are going through some pretty bad stuff. Right? Anybody ever went through some bad stuff in here? You know what? Here's the reality. Life sucks. And bad stuff's going to happen. But you know what makes it better? Having a good friend. Right? Julie's been around. Doesn't life just throws curveballs at you sometimes, doesn't it? It pokes fun at you. That's what life does. I'm not here to paint sunshine and rainbows for you, okay? I'm here to tell you what it is and how it is and all the truth. And the reality is that life is hard, but it's a lot easier when you got somebody to love. You know? Let's see here. What else have I got written down? Here's another thing. If you're going to be present with somebody, actually be engaged with that person. You know what that means, be engaged? What did I say to you today? You remember? What did I say? Right. You know what? Yeah, which is being engaged. Just listen. You ask me a question, just listen. That's how you be engaged with somebody, right? Just listen. I don't mean to pick on you, but it's a good example, right? All right? So, plus, he's family. I can do that, right? So, no, he's actually my blood. That's fair. You know, I'm just saying, you know. Don't just be physically there, but be emotionally there with somebody. Completely engaged and present. Here, 1 Peter 4:8 says this. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. You know what would have been awesome? It would have been nasty. But I think Jesus would have been like, look, man. First, let me show you how much I love you. Let me wash your feet. Second, let me pray for you. And then why don't we just hang out and watch TV? Right? I don't know what kind of show Jesus would have liked. I got to imagine if he's, you know, if I'm made in his image, he probably likes some of the stuff I like, which is straight up action flicks, right? I'm just saying, you know? Told you, there's a lot of weird stuff going on up here, okay? That's just the way it is, man. People are going to be all over you to kind of rip your attention, rip your finger off. People are going to be trying to rip your finger off all day long, man. You know? That's life, though, right? He said rip your finger off. Man, that's too good. That's too good. Here we go. Look at this. 1 John 3:18 says this. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Here's the reality. Social media has hurt us in a lot of different ways. We feel like we've engaged with a lot more people, and yet we just haven't connected with anybody. And we need to connect on a real level with people. And this is what I encourage you to try to do, okay? Especially, we got a new pastor coming in. This is how you engage with him. This is how you talk to him. This is how you do it face-to-face. I'm going to give this guy some money so that he can take you out to lunch and different things like that. Make him take you out to lunch. Actually, okay? Right? Get to know him. Get to know his family. Then pray for his family. Actually do it. You know? You know how, I'm telling you, if you only do this, say, hey, I know you guys are here. I know this is a pretty big transition. Can I touch your shoulder? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. But I'm going to do my best to pray for you. You know? Tell me that wouldn't feel actually pretty awesome. If somebody just said, you know what? I'm going to go outside of my comfort zone and make sure I pray for you. That there is engaging with somebody face to face instead of just being lazy. Because that's what social media has caused us to be, is a little bit lazy, okay? Now, here's the thing. I'm not dissing social media. I like it. I like getting on there and doing different things and picking on people and watching people's lives and going, I'm glad I'm better than them, right? I'm not the only one that does that, right? Go, oh, I'm not as bad as that person. Oh, right? No, I'm just kidding. Kinda. You know? But this is how we got to do it. And that's how, so we got this new guy coming in. This is some of the things you need to practice. This is some of the things you need to practice with each other. Can I pray with you guys? Why don't we do this? Zach, come on up here, buddy. 9-finger Zach. Right? Can I get a couple people to lay hands on Zach? Huh? Yeah, come on up here. Who can we get a couple people? You got to be careful. Be careful with them. Be careful. And the rest of us, let's just extend a hand to them. See? This is how we show love. Can I get somebody to pray for him? Because I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to pray for him, right? You know what's really going to be loving? If somebody else prays for him. So who's going to pray for him? You want to pray for him?
God, I just thank you for Zach, and I thank you that we're all able to be here and pray for him. God, I pray that you would just heal his finger and that the surgery that's coming up, God, that it would just go smoothly and you'd work through the doctors and just be able to heal his finger completely. God, I pray that no other physical things would happen to Zach. God, I pray that you would protect him and all of us, and I just thank you that we're able to be here for Zach and help him through this as a family.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I pray for all of you guys real quick? All right. We got a new guy coming in here. We need to show him some love, right? Nobody in here should be feeling lonely. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for this generation that's happening right here. This generation, man, I'm telling you right now, as you guys will determine the future of the church. You guys will. You guys would determine if this church, not just this church, but the church in general, is going to fail or succeed. And it'd be sad if it fails, because I believe that's the avenue that God chose to witness to people, to save people, to make people feel loved. And you guys have a lot of power. So I pray that you actually start unlocking it and unleashing it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now over this generation of people right here, Lord. Father, I know that they're struggling. I know their hearts are breaking. And I know that this, while we're reaching more people than we've ever reached, Father, the reality is that we're lonelier than we've ever been. So, Father, I pray that we would break this cycle right now, that it would start with us, that it would start with this group right here, by first loving you and then opening our hearts to begin to love the way that you've asked us to. By being present in people's lives, by actually picking up the phone and calling people, by actually going over to people's houses. Father, give us the power and the boldness to actually lay hands and pray for people. Not just text them that I'm praying for you and then forget about it. Father, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to be that kind of Christ follower. I don't want to be that kind of believer. Father, I want to see your power manifested and present in this place. And the way it becomes manifested and present in this place, Lord, is by the way that we treat one another. That's where the power comes in. Wherever two or more are gathered, Lord, there you are. There you are in the midst of them. And I believe, Lord, in your presence, there is real power. There is real power available, Lord. That things happen, lives change. Father, you're the same God that birthed the son out of his mouth. The same God that did that lives inside of our hearts. So I pray that that power be unleashed in every single one of us. That we shine bright for you, God.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.